Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Total Disruption. My name is Michael Libersi, and on behalf of my partner, Jake Clendenning, we'd like to welcome Jen Ushhold to the, I have a fraternity brother named Mark Ushhold from back in the day. Yeah, he's an awesome guy. I'd like to welcome you to the show, Jen. Welcome to Total Disruption. I'm so excited that you're here. How are you today?
I am really good. I'm very excited to be here too. Chatted with both my kids a little bit, and so now I'm ready to move on to this.
You got the old palate primed for your, you know, conversation at like another child's level, which is with me. That's fantastic.
Hey, you know what? Everything we do is like sixth grade level, you know, with marketing stuff. So that's cool. We can talk at that level or beyond. You choose.
You might be giving me a little bit too much credit on the sixth grade level. So I, you know what I can't wait to get into? I can't wait to get, because Jen, you're a physical therapist, and I'll read your bio here in a minute. But I can't wait for the audience and the world to hear a little bit about your take on, you know, the whole pain concept, overcoming it, identifying it. What is it really? Your paradigm, 30 years in the business, and there's a lot of people out there, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of parents, a lot of just general, regular, great human beings out there that are getting, right, subconscious messages from pain. And they're either finding their way to pain medications, they're avoiding certain behaviors, their life is completely dictated by it. And on an extreme, there's big surgeries and everything else around it. So I can't wait to unpack. I don't even know if we have enough time in the day to unpack your brain. I mean, 30 years of experience is insane. So without further ado, let me just kind of give the quick little bio here, right? And I'm going to stick this and get this correct. So Jen is an expert in the treatment of chronic pain, over 30 years of experience as a physical therapist with cutting-edge practices in mental fitness and lifestyle medicine. A fellow Pain Science National Board Certified Health and Wellness Coach, Jen empowers individuals to release the grip of chronic pain by addressing the entirety of each unique human. Wow, you're a program director in lifestyle medicine, evidence in motion, and private practice. Jen has transformed countless lives through her innovative evidence-based approach. Passion, compassionate care, and coaching education makes her an in-demand speaker for healthcare professionals and wellness events, as well as being a mom and improv. I love it, man. So, Jen, what do you want to bring to the world today? Let's talk a little bit about you. You're 30 years in business. You're from the Scranton area. Now you're down in Alexandria, Virginia. What a great place to be. Let's hear more about you. How'd you get started, and what brought you to being this, we'll call it professional, integrative professional in the pain and wellness world.
Okay, cool. Well, I went to college in Scranton. I'm actually from Buffalo, New York. So the land of snow, which we love and enjoy. So I have been very passionate about the pain world for the last 10 or 11 years. And it kind of just came out of constantly as a new grad and in my beginning years, having people who I just didn't know how to help, and their symptoms would make no sense at all. You know, I feel better when I go on vacation, or, you know, my pain ramps up when my kid spills milk. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And so since I've been on that path of integrating the pain science, there's so much amazing crossover to lifestyle medicine. And we know that we can really improve people's health with simple lifestyle behaviors. And the truth is, when it comes to chronic pain, we have more than 22 evidence-based strategies to help people overcome pain that are not surgery, not injections, and not medications.
So what does that look like? So for me, right, I started out in the fitness space. And I was that outlier in the early 2000s that was integrating movement, post-rehab, and just about everything else under the sun to try to help people that were in that odd gap between fitness and rehab. So I myself have been involved with hundreds and hundreds of trainers and therapists, and been on the in that middle of that dialogue. So when I hear you say that you have programs that really attack things without injection and without pain medicine, to me, that's a powerful tool. Because what happens, people, if you go down the road, and I've seen this thousands of times, so have you, when you get an injection, or you start taking Advil, or you start getting prescription medications, or you have that surgery, and it doesn't work. What happens then? Then we're at the oh shit moment. What am I going to do now? And that's a dark path. So tell me a little bit more about those. So I guess it goes to models, right? The current pain models is something like, oh, I have an injury, do some ice, a little bit of heat, go see a PT, maybe stretch, lift the old leg, take some Advil for, you know, get the anti-inflammatory dose for 24 to 48 hours, drink a bunch of water and relax. Or nowadays it's move. That's an old model. What are we talking about? One of your 22 models here. We don't want to give you the giveaway the house here, but what do we have?
So the model that most of us are working on is 370 years old, and it goes back to the days of René Descartes, who was a philosopher and a mathematician. And so, unfortunately, that is the model most of us are still working on, and there are so many myths. But cool thing is that we've had this explosion of knowledge in the last 30 or 40 years because we now can see what's happening in the brain when people are experiencing pain. And one of the biggest myths we have is that if you feel pain, then you must have tissue damage. But a lot of people I work with, they've never had an injury. They've never had a surgery, yet they have pain. So that's my first very important message for all of your listeners, is that all pain is real. Pain scientists have never, ever scanned fake pain. But because pain and tissue damage are two different things, they don't always go together. And a really good way to start to get a handle on this is through stories. I use a lot of stories to help people understand the complexities of pain. So do you want to do a story together?
I would love to do a story together. All right, cool. I'm thinking to myself, I have one person I definitely want to refer to you already.
Nice. Thank you.
I've been getting a ton of the Ehlers-Danlos syndrome people now that used to be fibromyalgia people, that used to be the itis people, that used to be the whatever. They just keep kind of re-identifying this area that, you know, you're talking about, right? We don't have a thing, so let's now call it hypermobility, injury related to hypermobility, or mm-hmm. whatever syndrome you may have, where I feel like those are all real, but they're starting to get a bucket definition, in my opinion, right? So everybody's just, a lot of professionals are pouring into this bucket. I don't know if everyone in the bucket applies to that bucket. So for those of you out there, this is a huge, huge thing. This is so important. So yeah, let's unpack this story here. Let's go.
Okay. I first want to comment on what you just said, because it's really valuable, is that when we see a symptom conglomeration and we don't know what it is, what do? We give it a new name. We give it a new syndrome. And we actually have research that when we give people labels and names and syndromes, it doesn't actually help their symptoms, and it helps them lose hope. Versus what we're going to get into is the nervous system very shortly, is this idea of your nervous system is doing its job too well. Then what can we introduce into your nervous system so it's no longer overprotecting you? And that's so much better than you have Ehlers-Danlos and you've got, you know, section 832 and you're never going to walk again, because that's what people hear. So it's really important, because it's not a new approach, but this science-based approach puts the person in front and center, and we're looking at their symptoms and their goals as opposed to a simple label. So that being said, if you were to step on a rusty nail barefoot today, would you want to know that you stepped on a rusty nail?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Why do you want to know you've stepped on a rusty nail?
So I know exactly what caused the problem, and I can then take the appropriate steps in my head medically to begin to address the current and then the after symptoms of said nail.
Okay. Yeah. You want to take it out. You want to clean it. Check your tetanus.
Yep.
Exactly. So can you appreciate in that moment, in this description, that pain is protection?
Yeah.
Cool. So now we're just going to do a super brief introduction to your nervous system. It is 400 nerves, and they are all connected like one big crazy highway, 45 miles in length. So where I am in Alexandria, I usually say we could lay my clients' nerves end to end and get them to Baltimore. What's 45 miles from you?
Just north of Baltimore.
Just north of Baltimore, right? So again, that's a lot of nerves, right? And all of those 400 nerves, they have a little bit of electricity in them telling us that we're alive. And so we can both check that box, we're alive. Now, can we agree that when you step on the nail, that it's probably going to be sore for a few days?
Oh yeah, I've actually had this happen to me as a youth. So yeah, it's definitely sore for a few days.
Yeah. And when it feels sore, are you causing additional damage?
No, it just feels sore. I could not set on it. I could not step on it. It would still feel sore. You know, my foot was punctured.
Correct. So right there, we're starting to pull apart that pain and tissue damage always go together. The pain, the soreness, it's your nervous system coming back to baseline. And something else that's really important is when you actually step on that nail, it's not yet pain because we do not have pain sensors. We do not have pain nerves. All we have are danger sensors. And the danger sensors send the information up to the brain. And then if the brain decides it wants you to have pain, then you will feel pain. So you step on the nail, it's sore for a few days, and then you get back to your baseline. The challenge for people that are struggling with pain is that 1 in 4 people, their nervous system doesn't come back to baseline. So what does that mean? So for you, maybe you can do a heavy workout at the gym, or you can rake leaves for 3 hours and you are fine the next day. Someone else, they might rake leaves for 20 minutes and then they pay for it with pain for days or even weeks. So an example we have is if I were to throw a brick through your front window, would you want your house alarm to go off?
Yeah.
Cool. Now, what if somebody messed with the sensitivity of your house alarm and a leaf hit your window and your house alarm went off? Is your house okay?
My house is fine.
Your house is fine. So then I ask my clients, is it possible that your house, your body is okay, and we need to focus on the sensitivity of the alarm?
Wow, what a great analogy. That I can say without ever knowing you or without being endorsed or paid or anything else, you and I have no contractual obligations. I can honestly say that is one of the best explanations I have ever heard of this process ever. That is fantastic.
Well, I have to give due credit. My mentor, Adrian Lowe, he is a big reason that I am able to put all this together. But then one step further there is then people like, well, why did mine stay elevated? Why did, you know, it didn't happen to my uncle, cousin, sister?
Oh, and it's called life.
What was that?
It's called life. You know, it is what it is.
It's a little bit more than that because—
In a non-judgmental way.
What was that?
In a non-judgmental way, you know, it just series of events. Everyone's different, right?
Everyone's different, but that's part of how it influences it. And we've actually done research on this by a guy named Kendall, and it's called yellow flags. So there are things in our lives that can keep that sensitivity up. And family stress, right? If you've got a ton of family stress, or if you're worried about putting food on the table, your nervous system isn't going to come back to baseline. If you've got family issues, and if you're going to doctor after PT, after massage therapist, and they're giving you new labels, new diagnoses, try a magnet, try this, do you think your nervous system is going to come back to baseline? It's not.
We call it Dr. Olympics, and my goodness, and when I first got my start, when the magnets hit the scene, there was a manager of a gym that I was working out of as an independent trainer. This guy was raking. I mean, the gym was one of those, it was a unicorn. It was the only game in town. It was so busy. It was amazing. All these influential people. It was in Rockville, just outside Potomac, Maryland. So you know it for those of you that are local. Yeah. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. This guy was spinning magnets. And he was demoing, and it was a network marketing. This guy made money hand over fist, eventually sold the business. I mean, that just goes to show you when individuals don't have the entire picture of the knowledge and they do keep getting passed on from professional to professional to professional, you lose track. I've seen it dozens of times, hundreds of thousands of times. You lose track You come down a path, you hardly even know where you started. You're now based your information on your latest diagnosis. And you're not even addressing, the individual's not even addressing the root of the problem. And then you're being put into a category. It's a label. It's not, you're hitting the nail on the head. So let's keep it going here. I love it.
Yeah. There was something you said that I wanted to comment on, and now I've
got Olympics, spinning magnets, making money.
So both those things. So another really important message is that I am not selling snake oil here, right? Everything that we do is based on evidence. However, the way we apply it is unique for each individual because everybody does have their own unique pain story. And so I cannot treat everybody the same at all. And, you know, Dr. Olympics, that's good. I might steal that. I had a client once. I was her 27th provider in 10 months.
Been there.
Months. Yeah. So what's cool though about her is I loved it, is she, pacing is a big challenge for people. And so she agreed. She's like, okay, I will walk 2 minutes. That was all. And now she sends me pictures hiking in Budapest. So that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. You know, and for those of you out there, this is real. You know, like you and I we're in the deep end of the pool when it comes to multiple practitioners and everything else. So here's a tip out there for you multiple practitioners. When you see somebody that has 26 other people, just ask what they all did and just try something else. Because at best, even if you don't know really what's going on, like at best, just try something else. And then let me also say, if someone came into my office when I was doing a lot of in-service and they said, hey, I like to hold this pen. Somebody gave me this pen and this pen makes me feel better. Well, then guess what? Put that pen in your pocket and wear it every day. If, you know, some shaman is splashing you with fairy dust and you're feeling better, go do that. As long as it's not killing you or anybody else, go do that. Like, you hit the nail on the head. Everyone's different. Everyone responds differently to everything. I really love what you're doing here. So let's keep unpacking some more of this, because you're fascinating me here, because you're finally explaining the theory that's been in my head for a very long time. So let's keep going here.
Oh, nice. I like that. So that is the nervous system as alarm story. That's our base story. And then we have dozens of other stories that, depending on how the client shows up and what's limiting them or what's important to them, is that helps us determine which story we're going to do next. And you said a few minutes ago that knowledge is important. To me, this is one of the most mind-blowing things. We have so many studies showing an fMRI scan of somebody's brain. They do a movement, their brain lights up with pain. We're just going to say lights up with pain. And we do 15 to 20 minutes of education like you and I just did. They put them back in the scanner. They do that same motion again, and their brain quiets tremendously, because understanding how pain works is critical to overcoming pain. If you and I were to suddenly become cardiothoracic surgeons and we did not have knowledge, it would not go very well, would it?
No.
If we are asking people to navigate pain, which is impacting their everyday, without the knowledge. So the knowledge is really important. And also as important is, it's not a standalone treatment. There are people out there who mock pain science, saying you're just teaching people. No, the education is critical. But then if we were to only choose one other strategy, and remember, we have dozens, it would be exercise and movement. That combination is a beautiful place to start to ease pain and create safety in the nervous system.
I agree. So I'd like to clarify a couple things for people and understand a few things. So when we talk about these processes and these systems, you said it was a 370-year-old model or something like that. That's fantastic. I didn't even realize that. But a lot of times people are also getting snippets of information from different resources. There's several categories in like my genre here. There's several categories based on like age bracket and what people are doing and what they're doing for a specific purpose. If you're a professional athlete and you have a knee injury, there's protocols and everything else to calm that inflammation down so you can get in the game as quickly as possible, assuming it's not a major injury. That's not necessarily, like we talked about earlier, the best thing for somebody else to do that's trying to solve chronic pain.
Correct.
Because having worked on professional athletes, doing body work on them, some of those things are temporary. Yeah, they reduce the knee thing or the back thing. 15 years later, they're hobbling and crippled because it wasn't the solution. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important when somebody comes and has a dialogue and they're thinking about engaging in work-related, you know, because you got to do a little work, right? When it comes down to it, it's not a pill, right? Not you got to have some engagement. You got to have some buy-in. You got to have some physical connection to the process. You have to have some surrender and a little bit of trust. We're sometimes biased because we could take an Advil and feel better. We could put ice on it and feel better. Or, hey, I saw this post on Instagram and it's supposed to help me out. There's a lot of misinformation out there.
There is.
Let's talk to you about how do you organize this? Like, walk me through. I mean, we only have about 5-6 minutes left, but walk me through a session. Let's talk about how people get a hold of you and engage you, and then walk me through kind of your process.
All right. Well, my website is jenushold.com, so that's pretty easy. And my email is jen@iriseforme.com, just spelled out, and hopefully you'll have that in your show notes or something somewhere, easily accessible. So it is a unique adventure for every single client. So I do an evaluation. It can be online or it can be in person. And just by their story and their history, I have a really good idea which we refer to three buckets. And there's like the very typical ankle sprain. I sprained my ankle 2 weeks ago. It's just tissue injury, you know, for simplicity. And we're like, cool, we know you're going to be good to go in 2 to 4 weeks. Then we have somebody who's got more of a nerve injury, and that shows up differently and also somewhat predictably. That is a different evaluation and it's a different treatment. And then our third category, this is the people who are really struggling with pain. Their pain doesn't make sense. They hurt everywhere. They are seeking provider after provider. And again, it's a very different evaluation and treatment strategy than the ankle sprain. And so just like you said, with an athlete, right? If I've got an athlete with an ankle sprain, I'm going to be really, really getting into the minutiae to really restore the best emotion available to them and really strengthen them and get their power back. But somebody who's been dealing with pain for 4 years or 40 years, I just need to get them moving. I need them to feel safe with movement. I need them to trust themselves and their body and me. And so it's a very, very different approach. And I don't learn any of that until I sit down with the client and get their story. And the other piece is that, yes, we have these three buckets, but because we are all humans, everybody has an element of each bucket. There just tends to be one that was most dominant, and that's where we target our treatment.
Wow. That's amazing. And then when do people start to see results? Like, is it 15 treatments, 5, 2, 1? I know everyone's different, but you know, you got somebody who's been dealing with pain, let's say for 5 years. And on your estimation, out of 1,000 people, let's give a ballpark estimate. When does somebody start to see some sort of benefit or feel it?
You know what? It depends on the answer to this question. And I ask all my clients this question. If you're hanging out with a friend or a family member and they're like, you know, Sarah, why do you still have pain? What do you think is going on with you? So the person who says, well, it is my, you know, iliotibial band that is too tight and this, that, and the other thing. And that's what the MRI said. That person is going to take longer than the person who says, I don't know. And the reason why is because person A has some very long-standing beliefs about what pain is and how it works for them. And person B, it's almost like they're a clean slate. So they're going to be more open to hearing how pain works and integrating those strategies. And sometimes with the first person, right, I'm more planting seeds. I'm doing some backdoor education. And so that really makes a big difference. Now, I'll tell you, I just had a new person last week. And if I were to guess, I would have thought it would have taken us a long time to start making progress, maybe 4 or 5 visits. And today I saw her for the second time. She was curious. She listened. She advocated for herself. She decided to listen and tune in. And all of a sudden she started crying. And I was like, what's going on? She's like, I feel hopeful.
Oh, okay.
And she has not felt hope in years.
That's awesome. So
I hope that answers your question. It's a little bit of a workaround, but it's also the honest, most honest answer I can.
No, examples are always the best. You know, I heard George Clooney give an example. He said he hurt his neck really bad in one of his movies. And
yeah.
He was talking to Stern, or he was talking to somebody on an interview. And I always tune in when I hear pain management stuff. He went to a pain doctor somewhere in Europe, maybe in LA. And the doctor said, you're going to have to dial back your perception of pain in your mind. And you're going to have to start working your way and lowering it in your mind. I thought that was a fascinating. And this was a decade or more ago, right? That he had this neck injury. I just thought that was just 1/10 of 1/10 of the process he went through. But still, I think and I know through my 40,000 hours of sessions that I've done with people in my career and you know, my 30 cadaver labs I've been to, my extensive biomechanics and all this other good stuff. I think you're on the cutting edge of where we need to go as a primary. Obviously, you know, if something hurts and it's been ruled out that it's not a break or it's a rip or a tear, not an acute trauma or some other process that is fatal. But when we're talking about pain or injuries that can be brought back, I think you're on the cutting edge of something really big here. And I would like people to go follow you on your socials. And I'd like for people that are involved or enthusiastic about trying to learn more about you to please reach out to you. Do you have a social media handle you want to give out before we close out here, Jen?
I am most active on LinkedIn, just at Jen Ushold PT or whatever.
And that's USCHOLD, Ushold.
Correct.
Jen, I can't thank you enough. The time flies. We're running out of time. I got a ton out of today.
Thank you.
You need to broadcast your message more. I need to hear more from you. It's been a blast. People get a hold of you, and that's Jen Ushold. Go on LinkedIn. Scroll back. It'll be in the show notes how to get a hold of her. You know, for Jen Ushold, I'm Mike Liberci, and on behalf of Jay Clendenning, now it's your turn to disrupt. We'll see you next time on Total.